This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Well, I'm glad you're here tonight. I believe this. I believe God's going to speak a word to us. Anybody need a word tonight? I need a word. Anybody need a breakthrough tonight? Anybody need provision tonight? I believe God's going to speak to us. So let's do this. Let's pray together. God, our hearts are open right now. God, I know, I've seen it in the scripture, you used a donkey to speak. I know you can speak through me, God. You can speak through anybody. And our deal is, God, our hearts need to be open tonight. So God, I pray you'd open my heart, God. I'm the one communicating, and oftentimes you speak to me in my own messages, Lord. And I know you can speak to every single person, God, if our hearts are open. We know that through the parable of the sower, God. So let us have open hearts to receive. God, we're ready for you to do something good in our lives. We're ready for you to challenge us, to encourage us, God, to make us better, to make us more like you. That's our goal tonight, Lord. We pray these things in your name. Everybody said?
Amen.
All right. So let's do a quick recap of last week. Last week, we started our mini-series priorities. This week, we're going to finish it up. And last week, we were talking about how there are the priorities that we know, right, and the priorities that we practice. And oftentimes, there's a gap in between. And that gap, the bigger it is, it oftentimes results in frustration. Oh, I know this is what's important to me, but this is what I'm actually practicing, right? But the smaller that gap gets, the more on purpose we live, right? The more mission-driven, the more focused we are. And that's God's desire for our lives. He wants us to live based on our priorities. So we talked about priorities. Our main thought last week was that when it comes to our priorities, how do we know what's our priorities? True priorities get scheduled. That's the litmus test of priorities. So some of you this last week, you're like, oh man, I forgot to schedule them. Hey, guess what? You got this week. You know, we can schedule them. We can always continue to grow. We can always continue to get better. But that's the litmus test of priorities. How do you know what's important? I think about it like this. Like if I was to follow you around for a week, I guarantee I could find out what's important to you. Guarantee it. I just watch you, right? Watch what your schedule does. Watch what's close to your heart. And that's why it goes back to money. We got to be careful about money. We got to be careful. It doesn't grip our hearts. So we talked last week about priorities and making sure that our schedules reflect our priorities. I shared with you last week my top five priorities. And I believe as Christians, our priorities should probably look similar. But I shared with you my first priority is growing relationship with God. Second is loving my spouse. Third was loving my kids. Fourth is empowering believers, the family of God. We're family. You know, that's what the scripture says. We're family, all right? Now, we may be kind of a, you know, strange family at times, all right? Your neighbor may not be your ideal family, but guess what? They're your family. We're Christians. We're family. That's what the Bible says. And the last priority is reaching after lost people. If you're not familiar with that term, all I simply mean is people that aren't following God. And God puts responsibility on us to be a light into this world. So I shared that. I think all of our priorities should probably be pretty similar to that. And this week, I should say last week's message is foundational to this week's message, where we pick up and we kind of wrap this thing up. And tonight, if I had to name this message anything, I would name it Asking Big. Ask big. Ask for big things. Turn to your neighbor and say, ask big. Ask big. All right. So I want to start off with a quick story. You know, sometimes pastors get labeled, kind of as oh, they're always asking for money or that type of thing. Praise God, this church is not like that. I've been to some churches where I'm like, just calm it down. You can only take so much offerings, right? Before like people want to kill you. Okay. So, but with that said, I'm thankful we have a good balance on money at this church. Thankful for Pastor Allen's leadership. And there's a pastor who stood in front of the congregation and he told them, he said, guys, I got some good news, bad news. Here's the good news. Good news is that we have enough money to pay off the mortgage for our church. Everybody started standing up, hooting, hollering, yeah, we can do it. He says, all right, here's the bad news. The money to do that is in your wallets right now. All right. Was that a little better than chapter 11? Some of you were scarred from chapter 11 last week. I had people come up to me, ask me afterwards, what's chapter 11? I'm like, oh, man. Y'all got to work with me, all right? But tonight we're talking about asking. We're talking about asking big. I want to tell you a true story. This is like, I don't even know. This story just blows my mind, but this is a true story. There was a senior pastor, had an associate pastor in Southern California, and this associate pastor came up to him, and he told him, hey, pastor, I've been praying, and I just felt like the Lord led me this way. And at the time, they were having a building campaign, building a huge building, and you know, it was about $10 million worth or so. And he said, pastor, Lord put it on my heart to talk to one of the business guys in the church and to ask him for $5 million to put towards that building campaign. The pastor's like, all right, we need to pray about this. We'll make sure, like, you know, we don't do anything weird here. So they prayed about it, and the pastor's like, man, I feel led, feel good. You know, go ahead and ask him. So guy goes out and sets up a meeting with the business guy. and the businessman and he have lunch, and he starts off and he's getting ready to throw his pitch out to the, you know, to the business guy, and about halfway through he chokes and he gets a little nervous, kind of chickens out. Instead of asking for $5 million, okay, which he felt like that's what God spoke to his heart, he asked him for $1 million, okay? And to his surprise, when he asks him, the businessman looks at him and says, okay. Guy's like, what do you mean, okay? He's like, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do $1 million. And the pastor, associate pastor's kind of scared. He's like, what? Are you kidding me? Kind of shocked. Like, I didn't see it being that easy. Like, this is crazy to me. I didn't see it happening that way. And he's like, oh, okay. He goes, to be honest with you, he goes, I'm sorry I'm telling you this, okay? I kind of chickened out, but I felt like the Lord told me that I was supposed to ask you for $5 million. I only asked you for $1 million. He's like, you know, would you be willing to give $5 million? And the business guy kind of sat back in his chair, and he kind of thought about it. He said, you know what? Let me pray about it, and I'll get back with you. So the pastor follows up with him that next week, and he's like, hey, did you have a word from God, or did you get a kind of a leaning or a sense, you know, on what to do on the money for the building campaign? And this guy said, yeah. He goes, he kind of chuckled, and he's like, you know what? He goes, you didn't know this. You had no way to know. But before that meeting that we had, God spoke to my heart in a very strong and powerful way. And he said, God actually spoke to me that I was supposed to give. He goes, I didn't know what I was going to give, but my job was to be obedient and to give. He said, you asked me for $1 million. He said, so when you asked me this last week to pray, he said, I prayed. You know what the Lord spoke to me? I was obedient and you weren't obedient. So instead of the $5 million, I'm only going to give you the one. This is a true story, all right? This is not like, you know, I heard this somewhere, made it up. No, this actually happened. As soon as I heard that, I was like, wow, that is crazy, because it reminds me that God wants us to ask for big things. Sometimes we forget how big our God is. Like sometimes we just gotta like wake up a little bit and go, look around, look what God did. Like, look at this church, right? Look outside, all right? It's incredible. And that was all from God. We serve a big God, and sometimes for some reason, we forget to ask for big things. Sometimes we don't even ask. Sometimes we forget. You know, let me ask you a show of hands. How many of you don't like asking for things? Raise your hand. Anybody? Don't like asking. You got to be honest. We're in church, right? You have to be honest. Okay, hold on. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. That's a lot of people. All right, we're going to find out for real. Okay, put your hands down. How many of you have no problem asking for things? Raise your hand. Way less people. Okay, hold on, keep your hands up. I want to see real quick. All right. Wow, that is awesome. I was want to aspire to be more like you, okay? That is really, really cool. Here's the deal. For me, I'm one of those people probably fall into the majority of, I'd say just from my angle, 80% of you said you don't like asking. That's just kind of a random guess. That's interesting. I don't like asking naturally. It's just hard for me. I'd rather, to be honest, do it on my own rather than just ask. Sometimes it's easier that way. And you know, sometimes I'll have to come before Pastor Allen, and you know, maybe something happened in our budget, and you know, I'll have to ask him for something, and I like cringe on those moments. I'm like, oh, I just don't want to ask. I hate that feeling. And what I've noticed is a lot of people are like me, hence kind of the representation, the 80% that we said tonight. But the good news is this, that regardless of how we naturally feel about asking, we serve a big God who still wants us to ask him for big things. Regardless of how we naturally approach asking, God still wants us to ask him for great big things. And tonight, I'm going to give you some verses in just a second, but our main thought is very simple. It's this: ask big. And I'll put it up there. And not only that, ask big, but our priorities are always going to precede provision. Priorities always precede provision. Okay, there's some alliteration for you. There's enough P's in there to last a lifetime, all right? But we got to ask big. Our priorities will always precede provision. I'm going to share some scripture with you in just a second. You can put the three passages up. One of the first verses that I learned as a kid was, you have not because you... Have you heard that one? You have not because you ask not. I remember, like, even as a little kid, I was like, oh, I don't want to ask. It made me, like, nauseous as a little kid. Nothing has changed, okay? My wife still says I'm a little kid. That's a whole other thing. All right, so let's see Matthew 7:7. Here's what it says. The scripture says, ask and it will be given to you. That's a good verse. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. So God starts off and he says, hey, here's how I want you to approach life. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock. And in the scripture, the author intentionally writes this progression. It's getting bigger. We're supposed to continue to ask and then to seek and then to knock. If we had like a door right here, we're supposed to just keep knocking, and that's what God wants for us. That's his heart for us. So we move over to James, and he gives us a little more clarity. So then what should we be asking for? Can I ask for anything? Can I ask for that new Ferrari? God, is there anything wrong with that? I like the new Ferrari. I'd look good in the new Ferrari. Why not the new Ferrari, okay? Well, here's what James says. He gives us a little more insight into this concept of asking. He says, when you ask, you don't receive. Oh, really? Here's why. Because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So James gives us a little more clarity on asking. I'm not sure I like this passage very much. I would have been way better with like the first one. I like the first one like way better, right? Do you ever get like that with verses? You're like, not sure I like that one. Just flip over. Okay. So James, I'm not feeling great about James, but you know what? Nevertheless, this is God's inspired word. So God wants us to know that our motives are important when we ask. In other words, our asking, God's not like approving specifically of stuff that's about us. God's wanting our motives in showing us that our motives is a big deal. He doesn't want our motives to be purely pleasure. So then what does he want our motives to be? Well, Matthew 6:33, and some of you that have heard this in the New King James Version, right? What is the New King James Version? You know it? Seek first the kingdom, right? Seek first the kingdom of God, all these things. So this is the ERV, which I'll tell you, is it actually stands for the easy to read version, okay? I wasn't going to put that up there. I don't want you to mock the ERV, okay? We don't want to do that. But I think it makes it more simple, and here's what it says. It says, what you should want most is God's kingdom and doing what he wants you to do. That's a great way to explain it. What you should want most is God's kingdom, the things that are important to God, and doing what he wants you to do. Now look at the next part. Then he will give you all these other things that you need. There's an intentional progression there. So focus on the things that God wants. Then he's going to take care of all the things that you want. Miss Billy, I don't know if she's here, but we were talking this last week, and we were talking about the scripture that says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your hearts. You see how that works? God first. Focus on delight yourself in the ways of the Lord, and he will give you the things that you want. First place, and then as a result, second place. So we have to remember this when it comes to our asking. Sometimes we forget kind of the order of those things. I would say it like this. When we have our priorities in place, God wants us to focus most on our priorities first. In other words, it's like God saying, focus on your priorities. Get that down. Ask big for your priorities. And then guess what? All the other stuff that you want and you need, I know. Doesn't take God by surprise. He knows. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he tells us he's going to take care of us. But we got to get our priorities in place first. And that's why we talked about it last week. Because if we're going to be people who ask big, we've got to know what our priorities are, right? We've got to internalize them. They have to be deep inside of us. It's not just kind of something like, okay, you know, I got my priorities. No, they need to be things that we're thinking about every day, things that we're praying about every day, things that we're asking for every single day. So you see how big of a deal our priorities are to God. He tells us, seek first the kingdom. Hey, guess what? I'm going to take care of all the stuff you need. I'm going to take care of you. I got you. Now, I want to show you real quick a story of Solomon, King Solomon. And I think this passage gives a great explanation of what God wants us to do and what happens when we put our priorities first. Okay, let's take a look at it. Here's what the scripture says. We'll read it together. It says, the king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt sacrifices on that altar. That's a lot of sacrifices. It probably took him a long time. It says this, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. God is so big on asking, he appears to Solomon in a dream and says, hey, ask me. Do you realize how much God wants us to ask him for things? God appears to him in a dream and he's like, hey, God could have said anything. And God tells Solomon to ask him. Wow. Asking is a really, really big deal. So here's how Solomon answers. He says, you've shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. And you've continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Keep that scripture up real quick. I just want you to go back to that. Here's what blows me away. You familiar with King David? Man, King David did some bad stuff. If you know King David, that brother messed up pretty bad. That dude, man, he made so many mistakes. You know, a lot of times I feel like I can relate to King David in some ways, you know, in terms of some of my mistakes and whatnot. But you know what's interesting when I think about this? Out of everything Solomon could have said about his dad, man, he could have talked about his dad's faults. You know what it's like? Our kids know, right? You know, they're not. Sometimes we try to hide them from stuff. They know what's going on, you know? And Solomon knew what was going on with his dad. You know how he describes his dad? Look how he describes him. He says, "You've shown great kindness to your servant, my father David. Look at, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart." That's how he thought about his dad. Regardless of all the junk that had happened with David, the Bible says that he was still a man after God's own heart. You know what I love about this? No matter all the stuff that we do, we don't need to focus on our past. You know what? We need to focus on who God has called us to be. God looks at us and he says, "Do you have a heart after me? Because faith is what's most important to me. Faith is what's most important to me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's impossible to please God without faith." So despite all the bad stuff David did, Solomon still saw him in light of a man of God. Isn't that incredible? Dads, we got Father's Day coming up. I mean, you know my hope is, you know, you may be similar, that our kids would look at us and go, "You know what? Dad's got a heart after God." You with me? Man, I'll tell you what, if my girls look at me like that, tell you what, I'm good. All right, let's put the scripture back up. Stop getting emotional, Brandon. Here's what the scripture says. It says, "Now, Lord my God, you've made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties." Okay, he's not like being self-deprecating here. He's being honest. He's saying, "God, this task is so big, I need you." It's kind of the context here. He says, "Your servant's here among the people you've chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant," here it is. You asked God, I'm telling you what I want. "So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" Out of all the things that Solomon could have asked for, he asked for a discerning heart. You know, a lot of times we use a synonymous word, wisdom, right? Wisdom. He asked for wisdom. Let me ask you. If God asked you that question, what would you say? What would you tell God? You're just like staring at me. You're like, "Is it rhetorical?" Yeah, it is. Okay, it's rhetorical. But here's the deal. Solomon answered in this dream based on what was near to his heart, right? He based on what was already in him. So then what was in him? His priorities were what was in him, right? All of us have our priorities. Those are the things that are in us. Now, they may be good or may be bad, but they're in us. Our priorities inside of us. So Solomon answered according to his priorities. They were in him. And what was in him? Man, a heart that wanted to follow after God just like his dad. What was in him? A heart that wanted to be a good ruler, right? Solomon knew his priorities. He knew what was most important to him. It was on the forefront of his mind. It's why he was able to give that answer. So look what happens. Let me put that last scripture up. It says, "The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this." Yeah, absolutely he was. So God said to him, "So since you've asked for this, and not for long life or wealth yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies." That would have been an interesting one, right? If you would have asked for that, well, God have wiped everybody out. Woo, we're not going to go there, all right? But here's the deal. He said, "But for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked." You see what the Bible says? Keep that up. God said, "I'm going to do what you have asked." God asks him to ask for something. He tells God, and God says, "I'm going to do what you've asked for." Wow. Look at what he says. Now, we're not just going to end there. He said, "I'll do what you have asked. I'm going to give you a wise and discerning heart." That's what Solomon asked for. "So there'll never be anyone like you. Nor will there ever be." Whoa. "Nor will there ever be?" Wow. Okay. Verse 13, "Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you'll have no equal among kings." Wow. "And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Look what came out of him asking. What could come out of us asking? Look at this verse one more time. Put it up. God asks him, he answers, says, God, I want wisdom. And God says, guess what? I'm going to give that to you. But moreover, I'm going to give you what you've not asked for, both wealth and honor. In other words, when we have our priorities in place, priorities precede provision. When we have our priorities in place, provision's coming next in line. Do you hear that? Are you with that? Do you see that? When priorities are in place and they're the thing that's most important and they're God-honoring and we're asking for them, God says, get ready because some provision's coming. It's exactly what happened in Solomon. It's what we see all throughout the scriptures. When we have our priorities in place and they're God-honoring and we're asking big, not just for all the stuff. You say, Brandon, is it wrong to ask for stuff? No, but have your priorities in place. Let your passion be for your God-honoring priorities. Let that be what you're asking for. Wait and see what God does. I want to real quick, y'all have those. Oh, thank you. Sorry, I didn't see them. I got some t-shirts. Does anybody like t-shirts? Anybody? I'm going to be you real quick. Woohoo! Okay. All right, that was funny. All right. Hopefully that was more women than men. We won't go there, all right? But let me just throw this out. If you want a shirt, go ahead and ask me for one real quick. Look at this back here. All right, hold on. I'm going QB. This is going to be fun. I'm going to channel my inner Tom Brady, okay? I guess if I did that, I wouldn't show up to camp, but that's a whole other thing. All right. Let's take a look real quick. Who, you want one? Go ahead and ask. There you go. That was a good shot. Right there, you were asking. Anybody else in the back? Hold on. Sorry. I got to see if I can make it in the balcony, man. Now I'm like challenging myself. Okay, can I make it? All right. Dang it. All right, let's see if I can do this. Can I get it? Oh, man. It's not me, it's the shirt. That makes me feel better. Okay. Now here's the deal. Why did I just give you those shirts? You're like, duh, because you just talked about that, right? Okay. So I gave you the shirts because you asked. But go a little deeper. Why did I give you those shirts? I gave you those shirts because I prepared this lesson, right? I cared enough to prepare the lesson. And because I prepared the lesson, I brought the shirts. When it comes to God and us asking, sometimes we forget. It's the exact same thing with God. God loves you so much. His goodness is so great that when it comes to our asking, the only reason we even get to ask is because of his goodness. It's because he loves us so much. Sometimes we just focus on the asking part. It's because of his character that we can even ask. Now, our part is to do what? It's to actually ask. But the only reason we can ask is because of how much he loves us. It's the only reason. Because of his character. Because of who he is. If you're here tonight and you may not be a believer, I want to tell you, you need to get on this Jesus train, okay? I'll tell you what. You need to get on the Jesus train. Here's why. Here's why. Because Jesus loves you more than you know. Because God loves you more than you know. And it's only when we begin to realize his love for us, we begin to go, wait a second. God wants me to ask even more than I even want to ask. God wants good for me more than even I want good for me. And I want good for me a lot. So what does that mean for God? It means he's got a lot of good things in plan for me, right? He's got a lot of good things in store for me. He must have a whole bunch of love for me. So as we jump into this tonight, I want to tell you to ask big. I want to tell you that priorities precede provision. You want provision for your life? Awesome. Get your priorities in line. Make sure those priorities are God-honoring. And guess what? God's going to bless you. God's going to bless your socks off. All right? Now, I'm going to tell you this. Since we're talking about this, when God does bless you, I want you to come find me, email me. Tell me the stories when God blesses you. All right? I want to hear them. Send me an email. It's brandon.johnson@thearkchurch.com. Don't send me crazy stuff, all right? Don't send me mean letters. Just send me your stories, all right, when God blesses you. Because I believe God's going to bless you. As you put your priorities in line, I want to hear some stories, all right? And I want some sermon material, people, all right? So help me out, all right? So I want to encourage you to do that. So let's do this real quick. Let's put this into practice, all right? Let's talk priorities real quick. That's how you know I'm getting a little passionate. I got my little sweat deal. I need my little towel or something. Come on. I need a shirt. All right. So let's take a look real quick at my priorities. Priority one, growing relationship with God. Let me tell you what I'm asking for. If you're taking notes, I want to encourage you, jot these scriptures down. I'm telling you, I'll just kind of preface it by saying, at this season of my life, you know, there's all different seasons. I'm always praying different stuff. I'm always asking big. But here's kind of what asking big for Brandon, you know, looks like right now in this season of my life. So here's what it says. It says, Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, after all this, there's only one thing to say. Have reverence for God and obey his commands, because this is all we were created for. You know what I'm praying right now? God, I'm praying that I have more reverence and awareness for you in my life than I ever have. That's a good prayer. Tell you what, that's a challenging prayer. Because you know what I've realized in my life? Man, there's sometimes I feel bad about this. I get distracted, that's right. Not only that, you know what? I get focused on my own thing. You know what happens when I get focused on my own thing, right? You ever done this? You stop focusing on the main thing. So my prayer right now, at this season of life, this time today, is God, let me be more aware of you today than I've ever been. God, when I walk, help me to realize that you're right by my side. You're omnipresent, which means you're with me all the time. I can't forget that. He's with me all the time. He never leaves my side. You're like, really, Brent? Yes, that's what the scripture says. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. Okay? He's with us. That's a scripture I'm praying out. I'm believing. Man, I got to remind myself of that more. God, you're with me. You're with me in those tough meetings. You're with me when I don't know what to do. God, thank you. I don't have to have the answers. You're with me. I don't have to figure it all out. You're with me. I'm not sure what to do, but thank God you're with me. That's the God that we serve. All right, I'm going to show you my next priority. Write this down, Romans 15:13. Says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can keep that one up for a second. Yeah, some of you maybe will relate to this. You ever come home before and... I'll just say your spouse is there, and you can just tell they're kind of in a bad mood, right? You just kind of look at them and tell, you know them well enough, right? Sometimes it's not too hard when you have a face on like this, right? You know, I guess don't have to be a genius to figure that out, but, you know, sometimes you get home and your spouse is kind of in a bad mood. You know what I realize sometimes? When my wife, Brittany's in a bad mood, sometimes it puts me in a bad mood, right? And sometimes I see her face, and I'm mad that she's mad. I'm like, why are you mad? You have nothing to be mad about. And then I realize I'm mad. And I'm mad now because of you. And now we're both mad. All right? You know what? It's not a good thing. So you know what I realized? I need to stop being reactive and I need to be proactive. I need to be praying out the scriptures for Brittany. Here's what I'm praying out for, okay? I'm praying, God, I'm believing. I'm asking big that you would fill her with hope. God, that you fill her with joy. You fill her with peace. God, that she would have a greater trust in you. God, that she would overflow with hope. God, that she'd be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You ever prayed like that for your spouse? Tell you what, all of a sudden that angry face will turn around real quick, man. Let me tell you, I'm praying that over Brittany, and it's challenging for me, but guess what? I believe God's doing good things inside of her. And I'm asking big that God would speak to her. That God would do good things to her. When she's anxious, she's scared, she's nervous, instead of me coming to the rescue, no. I'm praying hope and peace and joy and trust in God. And that she'd be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm praying for her. I don't have to have the answers. I have a God who's got the answers. Praise God. That takes a little pressure off me. All right. I need a little pressure off me sometimes. Priority three, here it is, loving my children. We talked about this last week. Philippians 3:20, write it down. It says, but we're citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. It's where he's at right now. We're eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. You know, I was I was a youth pastor for probably about 11, 12 years. And you know what's interesting about kids? Out of all the messages that I talked, and I probably preached 1,000 messages to kids, you know what I think is probably the most important message that I preach topic? Is their identity, who they are. This is one of the scary litmus tests of being a parent, because we need to be able to ask our kids who they are, and they need to be able to have an answer. And they don't need to have a scripted answer. They need to have an answer that comes from their heart, because they know who they are. Not just because mom and dad said, but because they believe mom and dad. And what they said over and over and over and over and over and ingrained into their head and drilled into their head. Heard the same thing from the youth pastor. Read the same thing in the Bible. That's what we got to do as parents. We've got to let them know who they are. Because this world is going to tell them who they are if we don't tell them who they are. Oh, it's going to tell them exactly who they are. And it's not based in scripture. So for us, we got to tell our kids who we are and put it back up. I love this scripture. You know, there's different seasons, different times of praying, different stuff for my kids. But I'm praying this over them, that they would think eternally. They would think heaven. They would think big picture. They would realize, I tell them all the time, girls, you know you're dual citizens, right? If you don't know our story, we adopted our girls several years back. They're half Hispanic and half Caucasian. I mess with them all the time. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, you girls are dual citizens, right? And they're like, yeah, Daddy, we know we're half Mexican. And I'm like, no, that's not what I mean. No. It's not, we're not talking ethnicity. All right, work with me. They're like, oh yeah, Dad, you're talking. We're kids of the kingdom and we're kids on earth. Yes, that's what I mean. And I got to do a better job helping them understand this thing, right? I try my best. But you know what I continually do? I pray and I ask big and I believe that God's going to do something good and they're going to realize who they really are. One day I believe it's just they're getting it. They're there, but they're not where I like them to be. But that's okay. I'm just going to keep telling them the scripture. I'm going to keep asking big. I'm going to keep believing that God is going to reveal himself to them. They're going to realize we are children of God. If somebody asks them, who are you? Who do you think you are? A lot of ways we could answer that, right? I believe they're going to answer it and say, I'm a child of God. That's my prayer. That's what I'm asking for. Here's the fourth one. Empowering believers, okay? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is what we call a great commission. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. Here it is. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet far and near in the way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Jesus, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I've commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this day after day, right up until the end of the age. My prayer for you, my prayer for us as believers, is that we would continue to grow as disciples of Christ. What's a disciple? A disciple is a disciplined learner, someone that sets their mind to follow a teaching, in this case, the teaching of Jesus Christ. My prayer for us as a congregation is that God would raise up more disciples, more people passionate about him, more people ready to do something big for God, more people willing to go out. You know, I prayed one time and asked the Lord, God, you know, send me out. You know, I'd rather, you know, send me out to the oil field or put me in some business. I'm ready to just rock some people for you, right? I'm like, I'm ready, Lord. You know, the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, no, that's not your job. You're supposed to train them. I said, well, God, that's not what I want to do. You know, and in my own way, I feel like God said, well, who cares, okay? That could have been me. I don't know. But regardless of what was God, what was me, the idea is this. I can't do what you can do, but God has placed you in a specific spot for a specific reason so you can make an impact where you are. You've got to do what you are called to do. All of us are called to something different. So we've got to be good stewards of whatever we've been called. Some of you, you know, sometimes we forget this. You think the neighborhood you live in is just by chance? You don't think God had something to do with leading you there, whether you realized or not? You don't think that you're a light in your neighborhood? Woo! Sometimes we got to remind ourselves. Some people around us that need Jesus. Some people that are lost, man. Some people who are, they're just focused on me. They're just focused on themselves. God's put us there for a reason. You know, you think it's just by chance you work the job you work? You know, I believe the Lord's sovereignty had a little something in that. I believe God puts you exactly where you're at. The question is, are you making an impact? You have the Holy Spirit. You have God Almighty inside of you. You can make an impact. When we talk about leadership, I tell people this. I believe every person in this room has potential to be a leader. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is inside of us. And there's no greater influencer than the Holy Spirit. By definition, leadership is influence. You are a leader. You have God living inside of you. Come on, somebody. You have God living inside of you. You have the ability to lead. You have the ability to go. Here's the last one as we close. Last one is this, priority five, reaching the lost. People that don't know Jesus. Scripture says this. He went and said to his disciples, the harvest is large, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord who gives this harvest to send workers to harvest his crops. And Acts 4:13 says this. After they found out that Peter and John had no education or special training, they were surprised to see how boldly they spoke. They realized that these men had been with Jesus. My prayer is that God would send me out, that God would send you out, and that we would have the boldness that that scripture said to show people that we've been with Jesus and there's something different about us. And we're not trying to be different or weird. There's something different inside. And that we'd go out and we'd see lost people. We'd look at them, we'd pray for them, and we'd show them love. And we'd let them know that God loves them. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes tonight? As we wrap up, those are my priorities, and I'm believing big. My prayer is that you would ask big. As we close tonight, I want to throw this out to you. Some of you may be here tonight, and maybe you've never made a decision to make God the Lord of your life. You know, John 3:16 tells us this, that God loves us so much that he gave his son. You know all he requires? It's so simple. He says, will you believe? And for everyone that believes, the Bible says God will give you eternal life. You may be in here and you've never believed. I'm going to tell you, tonight's your night. I'm going to give you a chance in just a second to put your faith in Jesus. All it takes is believing. Others of you may be here this morning or this evening, and you may say, you know what, Brandon? I used to follow this whole thing, and I've just gotten off track. You know, maybe God stirred your heart tonight. You'd say, I want to come back. If either of those of you tonight, you'd say, Brandon, I want you to pray for me. Either you need to put your faith in Jesus for the first time, or you're coming back. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you tonight. A bunch of hands coming up all over. Don't be afraid. The Lord sees your hand, but more importantly, he sees your heart. Let's do this. We're going to pray a prayer together. I just ask you to repeat this. And I want to encourage you, say this from your heart. You know, we're not just doing this to do this. We're doing this because God sees our heart. We want to talk to him, and that's all prayer is. So let's do this. Repeat this after me. Everybody say, Dear God, I know that mankind needs a Savior. And I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me, the one who restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. And I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Now let me pray for you as we wrap up. God, thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. We're so thankful, God, that we can have priorities, God. And we know at any moment, worst case scenario, if something bad was to happen to us, God, we would be with you in heaven. And God, thank you that we don't have to live fearful or scared, God. We know that we have, our security is in heaven. It's not in our bank account, God. It's not in our friends list. God, it's not how much money we have. It's in you. God, that's what we're living for, God. So thank you, God, for you inspiring us, challenging us, teaching us tonight, God. Let these things stay with us, God. Let us ask you for big things, God. And thank you, God, for what you're doing in our hearts and lives. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.